Think for a moment of what the universe presents to us when we look at it. In a certain way, it's absurd. Down here on Earth, we see a wealth of life in many different forms that has inhabited this world continuously for over 3.7 billion years, in an unbroken, tenacious line of survival. Life on Earth is resilient, and while it has certainly seen its share of extinction events, catastrophes, and outright disasters at the hands of nature, life itself has never in the history of the Earth faced a wholesale extinction that would sterilize the planet. The sterilization of Earth is really only possible in one key way: the baking of the planet by the sun as its luminosity increases with age and sends the Earth back into a molten state. There is no way other than human technology that could defeat that, other than natural panspermia in the context of Earth's life's survival. Other than that, no asteroid, human disaster, nuclear war, or anything can totally wipe life from this world. That same resiliency presumably extends to all life in the universe. Any alternative biochemistries we can try to envision are just as, if not more, resilient than life on Earth. Once life, especially microbial life, gets a foothold, it probably stays for many billions of years on most exoplanets, at least if it's anything like our brand of life. Once it's there, it's likely that only the nature of the stars themselves define how long it can go. Even if complex life gets reset, the microbial background is likely to rise again to complexity a second or third or fourth time, so long as the opportunity is there for evolution to take its course and start anew. As a result, this would seemingly set up a universe where tenacious life is everywhere. And, as a result, intelligent life should not be uncommon, given the sheer number of chances out there for that to happen. We should not be alone in the broader context. Being alone in the universe requires this world to have won an impossible lottery. In fact, no lottery ever run on this Earth has had the odds that this notion faces. It's not like a lottery, where it's merely 1 in 300 million. It's at the very least 1 in 240 sextillion if you go by the sheer number of sun-like stars in the observable universe. It could be less. Red dwarf stars might end up being uninhabitable for worlds like Earth around them, but even if we remove those and focus on true sun analogs, the numbers remain staggering and shame lottery odds as we know them. The sun is not rare. That does not, however, mean that anything is close by. Yet, even for the Milky Way, the numbers are against being alone. The sun's chances of being the only star to host life in a civilization aren't great in a galaxy of over 100 billion stars. The vast majority, ostensibly suitable stars for planets with life. Yet in all our searching thus far, there has never been a compelling case for a detection of any kind of alien life or technology. There are hints, allegations, and candidates at best, both in SETI and otherwise, none good, and certainly no smoking guns, or there wouldn't be a debate on the subject, it would be case closed. Yet everything remains ambiguous. Until that changes, the great silence seems so prevalent, a pall hanging over the Milky Way galaxy, leading us into territory that in some ways remains every bit as spooky as it would be if we spotted some distant alien civilization in SETI that we knew almost nothing about. Being alone is just as profound as not being so. That point gets lost in a surprising amount of people that seem to think being alone is somehow normal. Is it? Based on what? Nothing right now. We're not that far along in what we actually know to make that determination. In short, we should expect to see alien life as a default. After all, it's what we are. We are someone else's aliens. Make no mistake, if an alien civilization ever came here, everything on this world would be, from E. coli to alligators to humans, alien life in every way to them. This planet is their holy grail of astrobiology, if they've never found anyone else. To paraphrase Arthur C. Clarke, either we're alone in the universe or we're not, and both are equally terrifying. This is true. When and if we do see some kind of evidence of aliens, it's probably going to be fodder for some really spooky videos on this channel, because just by virtue of being detected, they will be mysterious. No matter how it unfolded, a huge number of questions will open up. Case in point. A dry run of this effect was KSC-8462-852, or Tabby Star. At first glance, it looked to be a strong candidate for alien activity. The more recent work and observation pointed dust doing something weird that we still don't understand. That star remains an enigma. But the initial thought was that because it's so weird, it might be consistent with aliens constructing a Dyson sphere or partial sphere, Niven ring, or some such. Intriguing though that was, it has since not met those criteria on further looking, though we still really don't know what's going on there. That story is not yet finished, but think about what would have happened if it had been aliens. We would have been seeing an unbelievably powerful and advanced alien civilization constructing a megastructure around a star almost 1500 years ago, during the end days of the Roman Empire. We'd have to ask, what is the purpose of such a thing? Since you can use a Dyson sphere for power generation, but you can also cut a hole in one and make it into a Death Star, concentrating the power of a sun into a single beam that if aimed at a planet would destroy it from halfway across the galaxy. Other questions would include, do they know about Earth? Are they on their way? What do they intend to do with the galaxy long term? And given the distance, it would be many lifetimes before any message sent to them could be expected to bring a response, one that may never come. You get the picture. In short, SETI discovering aliens, if it happens, is going to be spooky. But at the same time, never discovering aliens is also spooky because you never get to find out just why they aren't there. It's just dead silence out there. And there could be any number of reasons for that, some of which could eventually cause our silence. Some of those potential solutions to the Fermi paradox are rather benign, such as it's hard to get life going, or life on average rarely goes complex, and so on. But there's also the possibility that what we see out there has been deliberately sanitized. If you will, there's no one out there because something, otherwise invisible, is wiping them out. There are many variant scenarios in this, but one particularly spooky one is the Berserker Hypothesis, first advanced in novels by sci-fi author Fred Saberhagen in his Berserker series, though the idea actually predates that, and is more the result of an amalgamation of ideas that arose specifically because of what's known as the Hart-Tipler conjecture. To envision this, you first have to look at the Drake Equation, which is a tool in which to begin to think about how common alien life could be. We don't know what all of the variables are to plug into that equation. We only know a few numbers for sure. But if you plug the very most conservative numbers you can reasonably think of, you end up with there being thousands of civilizations in the Milky Way, so many that we should see them everywhere, even using the most conservative numbers. Clearly, we do not see them everywhere. It's possible that we simply don't know what to look for, but there is another option. The conjecture tackles this somewhat in that the fact that we do not see detectable von Neumann probes in our solar system suggests that they simply do not exist, and whatever estimates go into the Drake equation are not correct. This is problematic because we have no evidence that the numbers we do know for the equation are incorrect. And more, and this was Sagan's reply, absence of evidence is not evidence for absence. And it doesn't make a lot of sense from other angles either. If there are no aliens in the Milky Way, then what makes Earth special? That, of course, gets into the rare Earth hypothesis, which might have legs if exoplanets had turned out rare, but they didn't. They're everywhere, and nothing really sets Earth apart with any truly unique conditions that only happen to one planet among the billions in the galaxy. So the Hart-Tipler conjecture basically says that Earth is a unicorn, and its biology is a unicorn, and its civilization is a unicorn, 3 for 3. Well, that stands against everything we know about science. Almost everything ends up being part of a statistical population, including civilizations. If not, then you're a unicorn living on something like the island from Lost, where organic chemistry happens that occurs nowhere else. And that brings us to sanitization of life in the galaxy. There are a number of scenarios involving that concept, but the Berserker hypothesis stands out. It goes like this. Self-replicating probes can have many uses, from colonization to disassembling planets, but one possibility is that someone might create weaponized von Neumann probes and go on the attack to eradicate any sufficiently advanced technologies other than their own, and then may follow that by mostly self-destructing themselves to keep the galaxy generally free of high technology, perhaps for the safety of lesser developed civilizations, but created by one overarching master civilization. Perhaps the first to ever arise in a galaxy, that may even be extinct other than its legacy of destroyer probes. If the progenitor civilization is indeed extinct, then quite simply there are no alien civilizations out there, at least advanced ones, and that's why we don't see evidence of them. Another issue here is simply mission drift. The von Neumann probes may have started out with a scientific, exploratory, or colonial mission, but over time, corruption in their systems turned them into berserkers. Ironically, the Drake equation is preserved here, because none of the factors it attempts to account for matter in the face of a galaxy-spanning technological phage. That reduces all of the factors to meaningless, as it destroys anything that would make them matter. All questions are accounted for in this scenario. Why don't we see Dyson spheres, radio beacons, alien probes passing by, and so on? The answer on all accounts is simply that there is no one there to do those things. Yet there once was. But there is one core problem with the Berserker hypothesis. We're still here. It's been shown that even at a very slow replication rate for the Berserker probes, and they were to snuff out all civilizations, then our current existence seems very unlikely because it's more likely that we'd have already encountered a Berserker than not. But it also remains far from zero chance that we might have just gotten lucky so far, and there is a Berserker on the way to take us out. Or they may not act until a sufficient level of technological development is achieved. A variant of this thinking is the Dark Forest hypothesis. This idea has been floating around for decades, advanced first, I believe, by David Brin, but more recently by Liu Cixin, and also written about by Greg Bear, and is among the spookiest solutions to the Fermi paradox. If you make the assumption that survival and resource control are the primary motivators of civilizations, then we may be in a cold war of sorts, where civilizations do everything they can to remain silent, because they know that all civilizations are inherently hostile. Don't tell the wolves where the food is, and the hunter does better to conceal rather than alert its prey. But again, what stands against the Dark Forest is that we're still here. Though it's been pointed out that we may not be for much longer. You see, only recently did we become visible as a civilization with our radio signals. Perhaps not enough time has passed for the Dark Forest to notice us. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently noting something peculiar about nature. The predators of the forest aren't usually all that quiet. I hear owls, coyotes, and all sorts of racket coming from the predators. Don't even get me started on the birds. They're certainly not falling in line with the solution to the Fermi paradox, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.